If you want to open the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22, verse 30. Happy Father's Day, everyone. When you get there, say amen. That's probably not up there, but it's okay. I'll read it from the King James Version of the Bible. The Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." I'll repeat. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Let's take a moment. Father, we pray today that your Holy Spirit will interpret these words to us. He will speak the truth in us, even as we remember this day for fathers. We pray, Father, come. Come and speak to your children. Down here we listen. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. The Bible says that God is looking for a man. A man that is able to stand in the gap, to build a hedge, to stand in the gap so that he will not destroy the city, destroy the nation of Israel, destroy the nation of America. But the Bible says that he finds no man. You see, today is Father's Day. And to celebrate fatherhood, to talk about fatherhood, to address being a father, we have to address the very, very vital component of that part, which is being a man. And I wrote down there that the prerequisite of being a good father is being a good man. That we start from being a good man before we ever become a good father. That number one, that is most importantly, is that to be a father, you need to be a man. Okay? But then, to be a good father, you need to be a good man. And the Bible has addressed the part where we are good men from the very, very beginning, from Genesis. God starts speaking about man at the very, very beginning of time. Now, if we go back to Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 28, if you want to come with me there, and we're going to camp a lot today in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 1, for those who do not know how to find that one, it's at the very beginning of your Bible. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 28. The Bible says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them." Now I want you to make a point to understand that God is speaking to them, which means both Adam and Eve. We all know that God has created man and woman. So he says to them, both of them, he says, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." So God speaks to Adam and Eve, to both of them. He says, "This is a responsibility that I'm giving you upon the earth," which essentially speaks to God not looking. Now, I'm going to start this way, and it might look confusing with where I'm going with this message, but hang in there. God has created man and woman. And in this particular verse, he gives them the same equal responsibility to subdue, to be on the same, to be pretty much essentially partners in doing this work that God has given for both men and women to do. What God wants us to see is He wants us to see that being a woman is not lesser. It is actually complementary. That God has created men and women and He gives them the same role. He says, this is your responsibility. Which means both of us have got the same responsibility. Both the man and the woman, we have a responsibility on this earth. Now I'm going to move into the murky areas as we go into Genesis chapter number 2. If you want to go to the next slide. Genesis chapter number 2. Verse number 7. Genesis chapter number 2. Verse number 7. I'm going to try walk as slowly as I can do. Verse number 7. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, I want you to notice that there are two accounts of creation in the Bible. The account of creation in the book of Genesis chapter number 1, it is what God did. Amen. Amen. So it's not two accounts. It is what God did. It's a description of what He did. In Genesis chapter number 2, it is a description of how He did it. Praise God. So the first part is telling you, this is what He did. The first part when we are reading Him telling men and women, this is what you guys ought to do, is what God is doing. It is a description of what God has accomplished, what God has said, what God has done. Then chapter number 2, He tries to explain to us how He has done it. And so He says, this is how He did it. He took man. He created man. Verse number 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed unto his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now I want you to understand that at this particular time, there is no woman yet. Which means God is creating Adam first. Now, if we know the way God does with His precedence, which means sometimes He gives a certain nation, a certain person, a certain thing precedence over the other. And when He gives the precedence, there is a certain importance that God has got to everything that He gives precedence to. That is why He says, I will bless every firstborn from your womb when He's speaking to the nation of Israel. Because the things that He puts first have got a certain importance to Him. A certain value to Him that He says, I'm going to precede this. I'm going to start with this. So He creates man first. He gives him that responsibility. And the second part of the second slide, before I come back to talking, I just laid out things that some of the things that in the Bible there is the precedence. And the first one, the human race begins with a man. We know that the covenant of the testaments was given to Abraham, who was a man. The 12 tribes of the nation of Israel began with a man. The redemption of Israel was delivered through a man. The occupation of the promised land was led by a man. The royal prototype of Messiah was a man, which is David. The Savior of the world came as a man. Jesus began His ministry, founded the church with 12 men. When God decides to put man, to put Adam, to create Adam first, He gives a certain responsibility. He gives a certain importance to this particular part, to this particular person that He creates first. And let us see how He does that. So He continues. Remember, number one, up there in Genesis chapter 1, we saw God giving this responsibility to both men and women, which means there is a responsibility that you are not lesser, because that my saying like this is not me being chauvinistic, I guess.
is I'm saying that there is something that God has got when he set aside Adam and he said Adam was to be created first. He put some responsibility, but then this does not negate the fact that woman has been given the same responsibility, only differently. Praise God. So it's the same role, the same responsibility, only differently. So he continues. And so God forms man. He breathes his life in man. And then God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. So he puts man alone. He puts Adam alone in the garden. And out of the ground made God, the Lord God, to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and every good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads or four distributaries. And the name of the first was Pison, that is, which is compasses. I'm trying to not read the whole thing. But anyway, the idea is that God has created man. And then he creates everything. He creates the rivers. He creates the plants. He creates all these things. This is prior to the creation of woman. Okay? He creates all this. And so he creates all these rivers. The name of the third river. And verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, the second thing that God gives man, the first thing is he creates him first, but then the second thing that God creates for man is work. Okay? So, if you are going to be a good man, if you're going to be a good man, then because to be a father, to be a good father, we are starting from being a good man, work is very important. Now, I'm not talking about your job. Praise God. Praise Jesus, because I've been jobless this week. So I'm trying to stay away from that. Your work is your purpose. So when God creates man, the male man, God gives him purpose first, even before he puts a woman on his arm. He gives him purpose. Because you see, men are going to be lost if they do not know their purpose. If you do not know your work, you cannot be a successful or a good man. Because if we do not know our work, then we cannot lead. We cannot lead woman that God has given. We cannot receive any help because she doesn't know how to help. Oh. Because you see, God creates woman and makes him her the helper to the man. She needs to help, but to be able to help, you need to know where you're going or what you need help with. So man, the most important thing to men, and that is why it's so easy for us as men to be defined by what we do. It is so easy for us to get so sucked up into what we do that we forget all the other responsibilities. Because work is very important for us. When we take away work from somebody, they do not know what to do. Remember, I said that work is not the job. Work is work. In fact, Ecclesiastes says that in the evening you come back to your work. After doing your job, you come back to your work. See, the best example I've given, and I think I've talked about this here, is Michael Jordan. You can fire Michael Jordan from Chicago Bulls all you want. You cannot take away basketball from him. Come on. You can take the job away from him. You can't take his work. So as a man, the first thing that you are asking your father to do is, Lord, show me my work. Where do I fit in? Who am I? Because the father will show you work before he ever sends you the woman. So he shows, and don't worry if you haven't found your work yet and you already have a woman.
you're still in time. Because the same God can start revealing that to you.
So God gives him work in the garden. This is before the woman shows up.
We were reading verse number 15. Where were we? You can go to the next one. So we know just where to go specifically. The other one.
So verse number 15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it, to take care of it.
Verse number 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every man, of every tree of the garden, you are free to eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die." So to be a good man, now listen, God is giving this responsibility and leadership ability to man before creating woman. Instantly, God making Adam a teacher. Because how does Eve come to know about what God said? It's going to be man teaching the woman. It is going to be man leading. And how is he leading? He's leading by the word of God. Don't forget that. So number one is one, knowing your work, knowing who you are. Why have you been created? Why are you here? And then once you do, then you come to the leadership. I have the responsibility to lead, to teach, to guide. And that's where the mistake started happening. As God gives this responsibility to man to move over this information to the next generation, to Eve, which I guess he does. Verse number 18, and the Lord God said, "It's not good for man that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, meet for him." I tried to explain that in your bulletin. By God saying a helper, it does not mean that it was a lesser he was creating. God has called himself helper to the nation of Israel. He says, "I'm the helper to the nation of Israel." It doesn't mean that he is shorter or lesser by saying that. Creating woman as helper is creating somebody to complement man, to finish off from the parts where man cannot do, to complete the work that man cannot complete by himself. Verse number 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see that he should call them. So anyway, God creates woman. And the Lord said, "It's not good that man should live alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground he creates every animal. And Adam gave names to all of them, which is the third thing. God gives Adam the capacity or the power to change. See how I call just simple, the simple act of naming, changing, and creating is because every time in the Bible you will see only one person that has the responsibility to change names, and that was God himself. He changed the name of Abram to Abraham, which changed the destiny of Abraham. He changed the names of cities, which changed the destiny of the cities. Listen to me. He makes man and he says to man, "I am going to make you a creator. I'm going to make you." He says, "Name these things."
which means change their destiny, which means make them what you want them to be. Because essentially when Adam says this is what this is, it becomes what he said it is. I don't know if you're missing this. So if I say this is chocolate, it becomes chocolate because I said it's chocolate, because it was not chocolate before I said it's chocolate. It becomes a cow. He creates by saying those words, we shall call this one a cow. It becomes a cow. Adam is being given the responsibility to create things, to lead and to guide. The man is given this role by God. To create things in the situation, to be rational about things. I want to back up a little bit. Back there, the Bible says, and I've said this here before, the Bible says that God created a garden and then he placed man in the garden. And in the garden, man thrived. Man was successful in the garden. He touched things and things happened. And the pattern, and this is not what I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about worship, but I'm going to just mention this. The pattern of God is that he created environments and then created the habitats of the environment. So he creates the sky, the firmament, and then he creates the stars and puts them in the firmament. He creates the ocean and then he puts the fish and all the seaworthy animals in the ocean. Then the Bible says, and then the Lord God made a garden and placed man in the garden. Now, if the star leaves the firmament, it dies. Did you guys know that? It dies. If the star leaves the firmament, it dies. If the fish leaves the water, it dies. It malfunctions and dies. If man leaves the garden, they malfunction and they die. You see, there's a reason the Garden of Eden has not been found. Do you know that through excavation, they found a lot of things from the Bible apart from the Garden of Eden? Because the Garden of Eden was not a physical geographic location. It was an environment. And I believe strongly it's an environment where there was the presence of God, the full presence of God. So when man leaves the full presence of God and lives outside of the presence of God, they malfunction and they die. That is why when they are asked outside of the presence, when they are asked, the first person to be born outside of the garden was the first murderer. Because they were outside of the presence of God. The devil is aware of this. That is why he will do everything in his power to keep the male man outside his habitat. That's why in churches throughout the world, you will find that the population of women in churches are much more than the population of men. Because the devil knows that if men can come back to the presence, then there is nothing that will stop them. If we can come back to the presence of God, if we can go back to the garden, then we will start thriving. Then we will start being successful. And the devil is aware of that. He will do everything to keep us outside of the presence of God. So that everything that we want to do, in fact, we feel as men, we are so uncomfortable to worship God. We want to be modest and stand in the back. We don't want to lift up our hands because you know what? I'm a man. It is the enemy. Earlier we talked about, you know, Jesus looking at Peter and saying, you know what? Satan behind me. Because there's an enemy that is involved to want to keep you outside of worship, outside of the presence of God. Because there he destroys you. There is a garden that God has created that he's put man there. And he's created man as a solution. to a need. The Bible says that nothing had grown on the earth because the Lord had not sent rain, because there was nobody to till the land. And He creates man. He creates you and me, fathers, that we may be able to do that, to accomplish, to create that change, to name things. Pastor, where are you going with all this stuff? So God creates this. Verse number 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man. And he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead of. And the rib which God made, which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Verse number 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and man and his wife, they were not ashamed." And close my Bible so that we can just talk. So, before God, that is man. He's created with authority. The Bible says that then God puts him to sleep and takes a rib out of man. And instead, he places a pile of flesh in that place where the rib used to be. And women, that's why you don't understand your husbands. And that's why they don't understand you. Because there are some things that God has created. When he took away the rib, there are some things that he took away from him that you can't replace by yelling at him and screaming. The very, very things that God, in that act of taking away that rib, took away from man. And for a reason, that men will be rational in judgment, that men will live with integrity, that men will lead with authority and order. Today, the society that we are living in makes men ashamed to be that person that God has created man to be. Jesus Christ comes to the scene, and he comes as a male man. And the Bible says that he's at the temple, and people start messing around with the things in the church of God. And the macho man side of God, the part of the rib that was taken away, comes up, and the Bible says he takes a whip and he starts ordering things around, because that is the way God created us to be. But then you see, when Jesus comes, he also balances it out in a beautiful way. Because not only is he the macho man that is showing authority and whipping people in the temple, he's the one that young children want to hang around. He's a father figure. He balances that equation. You see, back then men were supposed to be men. God, Jesus comes and balances it out perfectly. Which means, as a man today, as a father today, I need to find that place, that balance in between. A balance that only God can give us. Ladies, the generation that we are living in is broken and it's twisted. Do you know where the mistake started? It started when Adam teaches Eve what to do. Adam should have been there with Eve. The devil asks questions and she gives the short answers, and then, well, the failure comes. But do you know when God shows up, do you know who God asks the questions? Do you know that God did not know that the enemy attacked, went to talk to the woman?
He was aware. But in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that God comes and asks, you men, I gave you the responsibility. What happened? What went down? I wrote in the bulletin something that is going on in our society that I would like to address as well. My son, this is what was happening. Let me give us a background so we understand. We were driving around. I've not been working much this week, so we were just driving around, and my son says, let's go to ice cream. And I said, that's a mommy thing. Mommy is the one who takes us to ice cream. And then he says, well, okay. And then like 2 minutes later, he's like, daddy, can we go to ice cream? And I said, so I pretend I'm really, really surprised. I'm like, did I turn into mommy? You know, what just happened? You know, that's a mommy thing, and I'm not a mommy. You know, am I? So I'm pulling the mirror to look at myself to see whether I'm mommy, you know. Then he says to me, that will be very weird. I said, sure. And he says, that would mean we will be two mothers. And I said, okay. And then he says, it's weird to have two mothers, right? And I said to him, yeah, it is. And then my daughter says, no, it's okay. There are people that have two mothers. And then I knew that's an opening for a conversation. Guys, the reason that we are in a place where as fathers we have to deal with that conversation is because as fathers we forgot our responsibility long ago. We are living in a generation where we are raising our sons without defining clearly to them what a man is. We are living in a generation where we are not defining clearly to our daughters what a woman is. All this lays on the shoulder of the man that was asked to teach. All this lays on the shoulder of you and me, fathers. Because the way we carry our role and our responsibility, define and refine it to the sons that we are raising, we can be able to change the world tomorrow. Because as long as we raise our children, our sons, from this place of, oh, you are an emotional being, you can cry all you want, and we raise our daughters like that in a different way and tell them, you can be macho, you can be the man. When in the future things start turning on us, it is because a father messed up somewhere. The devil has attacked the unit of a home by destroying fathers. Because he knows that if fathers can discover the truth of the word, if fathers can teach according to the word of God. Remember what he told him in Genesis. This is what I'm telling you about the tree. This is my word. You can eat of every tree, but there is one tree you shouldn't. That is the word of God. That is what fathers have to teach according to. He says, you will teach the woman that is coming, but you're going to teach them according to my word, not according to their preference, not according to what they think it should be, not according to their feelings and emotion in the time, not according to how they feel, but because of the word. That is what fathers have to arise and teach their children, teach their father, their sons and their daughters about their roles as a people as defined by the Bible. Because today we are dealing with this mess in this nation. Because a few years ago, fathers decided to say, we are going to impregnate women, we are going to leave them. And so women started raising children. And initially this was frowned upon. Society thought this was odd. It was not okay. But then over time, as a nation, we started celebrating this. We started saying, you know what, we need to empower this and make it a norm. And we normalized it this far. That today it's so normal to see a mother with 3 children, with 4 children, 5 children without a father involved in the home. And this mother is raising sons. Mother, you can raise those children, you can never make them a man. You can quote me on that and put it in the papers.
So my counsel to you is, you have to find godly men. Godly men that you want to invest your sons into the lives of these people, of your children. That they will walk under, that they will follow, because there is something of men that God has put in men that only men can move over to the next generation. The buck falls with us fathers. I sound really whiny, but it is the truth. If all of us fathers that are in this place can capture the fire. So if you're a single mom, I'm not blaming you. I'm saying somebody somewhere failed, and they failed us terribly. I'm saying somebody somewhere adjudicated their responsibility, and it's hurt us. It has hurt the generations to come. It is time that men stand up and take on the mantle that God has called us to be and start leading and be able to raise families and children, God-fearing men and women. I underline that, God-fearing men and women, because that is the order of God. That is the design of God. You see, what the TV does is it normalizes things until over time, the things that we frowned upon, we start celebrating them. They become a normal in the society that we don't even think twice about it. 8 years ago when I came to the United States of America, back in my country, the LGBTQ deal is not as pronounced, or at least back then it wasn't. 10 years ago it wasn't as pronounced. So I would, if every time I would see somebody that is in that community, there was a part in me that was like, man, we need to pray for that person. Fast forward 8 years down the line, I see people like that. And by the time I think about praying for them, it is 10 days later. Like, it's become so normal to me that it's something that I see on a daily basis. And it's okay, quote unquote. It is time that the church raises. It is time that we fathers start telling our children, listen, this is the order of God. In the Bible, there is men and there is a woman, and it doesn't come because you prefer that and you choose that. Every time the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that whoever you choose to yield to obey, you become a slave to such, either to sin or to God. Every time we choose to say, I am sinning, every time we choose, we are simply saying, hey, I want to submit under this sin and be a slave to that sin. It is time that fathers, we arise and say, you know what, we are not going to submit. Does it mean we do the, you know, straight parade? No. I'm really totally against the idea. What I'm saying is, we start raising our sons to become sons. And when the women see the leadership, when the women see in the men that are before them that order, that capacity, the work they ought to help them do it, they are not going to say, I am going to go to another woman. They will seek to follow, because that's what God has created us to be. The reason that our women are going to be with other women is unfortunately because men at some point, we lost our cause, we lost our responsibility, we did not seek to find our work. And because we didn't find our work, our women that we brought into our homes, they could not see a way to help us, they became confused. Because they want to help, they have been created to every inch in them by design. God has designed them to help you meet your goal. And because you don't have a goal, they don't know what to do. They look for an alternative. And that's what has created the mess. When men, we refused our responsibility back then. Our responsibility to raise and to teach. So if you're a father here, which all of us should be, because not only are we fathers to our biological children that God has assigned us responsibility over, but Paul says to the church,
He says, I am your father. Which means there is something called spiritual fatherhood. Which means as a father seated in this room, you're going to arise and say, you know what? I am going to help somebody in this church. A single person, a single parent in this church that needs, that does not have a father. I am going to wanna ask that, take that responsibility to walk beside them, to support them. And it does not take all the days of your life. It takes that 1 hour a week, a phone call, to just speak life into this young man. Speak hope into this. Your neighbors, the people that live around you, you see these kids in your community, speak something in their lives. And once the men take on the mantle and we start leading again, suddenly the women start following, because that's what God has done. They start helping. They find where to help. They fit in, and the puzzle becomes whole. The rib that was taken away, the Bible says, and then man will cleave to woman and they will become one. Happy Father's Day. I don't think so. Fathers. We are way into our time. I want to challenge you today. The last time on Mother's Day, the mothers were encouraged. You know, the emotional love, the good kind of love. But because God created men to take the hard hits, I come to you today with hard hits encouragement. You can make a difference. And to our young men, you are going to make a difference. When you choose to say, I am going to be a man, to seek out what God has called me to be, and I'm going to stand and lead and guide and show and teach, because that's what God has called me to be. Alongside you, alongside us, come our sisters, and they support us and help us, and we accomplish the will of God for this nation. There has to be a remnant, children of God. There has to be a remnant. How I pray that that will be you, that is saying, I'm going to stand with the truth no matter what happens. Teach. But most importantly, as a father, please learn. Learn. Be open to learning everything that God wants to teach us today. We started by reading Ezekiel, where God says, I'm looking for one man. Remember, it says in King James, I'm looking for a man that will stand in the gap, that I will not destroy. You can be that man that says, I will stand in the gap, and this ends with this generation, not in my family. No, not today. You're saying, I'm going to stand and I'm going to establish that all my children, all my offspring, the people that I come around, that they will not be taken in by this deception. Because you know what? The school system will normalize it. They'll make it normal. The TV will make it normal. Everywhere, the internet is going to normalize it. And let me tell you guys, unfortunately, 10 years from today, we are going to be talking about another sin. Uh-oh. Time does not erase sin. Or the lethality of sin is not taken away by time. It's just a sin. Whether we do it next year or last year, whether we do it when everybody is happy doing it, or whether we don't. Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says they were all reveling in it and happy in it. It was legal to sin. Does that sound familiar? Fathers, it is our responsibility. How do we start this, Pastor? We start on our knees. You start on finding, God, what's my part in this? Because until me as a father, I'm going to find my part, specifically me as Dan. What role do I play in this? Me as Dan. And then kneel down for that role and start praying and start guiding and start raising your son, start raising your daughter. Because even the daughters are the responsibility of the man, of the father. We are the ones that are going to carry them. The mothers are going to do an awesome job. God uses us to create that balance. Because like it or not, God created women as emotional beings. The rational part of it comes from the man. We are going to be the people to stabilize and bring that order. Daddy says, I'm looking for a man that will be able to stand. Today, I want to be that man. For the ladies in the room, I do believe this sounded like a message for the men mostly, but it's not. It's for you too, even as you stand up on your 2 feet. What is your role? Because it's so easy for us to be, you know the kind of people that, do you know why apparently they built the churches like that? So apparently, you know the churches that are built like a boat inside, like an upside down boat. So apparently the idea of creating them like that was to have a statement that we have been saved, we are in a boat, and you guys are not here, so that's your business. But we are inside the boat. It is so easy for us to remove ourselves and be safe outside of or inside the boat. And think that everything is passing. It might knock on your door. So, again, as a mother, as a daughter, what is my role in the political climate, in the situations that are happening around us, in the country that we are living in? What role can I play to help and support? Will you stand up so we pray? Every time when I finish preaching, I feel like, I did something. Today I don't know. And so I pray for you that where I have not done what I ought to have done, that the Holy Spirit of God will just finish that up and fill in those empty blank spots. Abba Father, we as fathers were charged with our responsibility to teach women, to teach the generations to come, to teach the world. At some point we were cheated. We were afraid of responsibility. We left our homes. We left our women. We were in the home, but we were not performing the way we were called to, which led our women into confusion. We did not know our purpose. We did not know our role. We didn't even know how to lead according to your word because we stopped reading your word. And this has led to the failure of humanity. And you've raised up another man, Jesus, that came to show us the way it's supposed to be done. He walked among us, loved us unconditionally, went an extra mile for us. In fact, the Bible says he never sleeps nor slumbers. He works overtime for us. And he came here that we may learn an example of how to be men, how to lead with the iron arm, an iron fist, and gentle, loving hands. Lord Jesus Christ, that we can show authority, but at the same time extend love. You showed us that if you love, you discipline, as you say in your Bible. Father, we took that responsibility away, and today we repent on behalf of the men, Lord. I and the men in this room want to stand in the gap to mend the hedge, that you will not destroy this nation. That as men, we are choosing to say we want to be brought back to where you wanted us to be. That we are going to raise our sons and daughters respecting the responsibilities and the roles that you have put. Lord, you've called us, as Paul says to us in Ephesians, to love our wives like you loved the church and gave yourself up for it. As fathers, Lord, we stand here asking for your help. Father God, we thank you so much for every woman in here and girl, every one of your daughters, the daughters of Zion, that are in this room and in the next room. That Holy Spirit of God, you're going to do a work in them and through them. That through your Spirit, my Father God Almighty, we are going to raise up a nation, an army of people not outside yet inside, but outsiders. That Lord Jesus Christ, we are not going to build the board so we are in the board, that we are going to be aware even as we walk amongst people that we have a responsibility, a personal responsibility, and that what's at stake is personal to us as individuals. But Lord, with such an awareness, we are going to invest ourselves in prayer, in supplication, to pray for our immediate family, to pray for extended families, to pray for this community, and call upon your name yet again. We pray, Father, come and restore manhood back to us. Come and restore womanhood back to us. We know that only you can do this. And we love it that only you can do this. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Wow. Happy Father's Day. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. May God bless you. Please pray. Please continue praying. If you have any questions, pray about it. I might not have the answers, but God does. Pray about it. May God help you to understand, to grasp, and to start investing yourself in crying to God for the restoration of this nation. Because something has to be done, and immediately. Amen. May God bless you.